Hey, Brother Ken. Well, glad to be able to get up here. Them chairs, whoever designed them, didn't design them for two old big preachers to sit side by side. Amen. Hallelujah. Good to be here and feel God in this place. Amen. Good singing tonight. Hallelujah. Can't sing a lick, but God's always seen fit to put some people around me that can. And that's always a blessing. Good to have a bit more of my family here tonight. And my wife Carolyn and daughter Beth, and Pete and Gabe, and my son-in-law Herman. And if you was going to pick on me, you might ought to have done that last night. He weighs nearly 400 pounds, teaches karate. Trained with Chuck Norris. Stand up back there. Let him look. Get up. Amen, Carolyn. All right. I'm pleased to have them here. They've been putting up with me these days and nights. I tell you what, I'm getting too old to keep up them boys. We went to Hickory today, Ken, and they run me to death. Yes, sir. Huh? Somebody's been a rough day, not been off work maybe that long, and like me running after some teenagers or whatever. Makes me mindful of a little old fella, you know, went in an old country store and he's trying to wrestle a big old box of washing powders off the shelf. Storekeeper saw him and went over to help him, and he said, "Son, you must have a lot of dirty clothes. You buy a big old box of washing detergent like this." He said, "No." He said, "I'm going to wash my dog." He said, "Boy, I wouldn't do that." He said, "It might make him sick. So I wouldn't use them washing powders, might kill him." You know what it's like to try to tell a youngin to do something that, you know, they got their heart set on, try to talk them out of it. So he paid for him, here he went. About a week later, he's back in the store, and a man asked him about his dog, and he said, "He's dead, he died." Well, he hated, you know, to tell him, "I told you so," but he said, "Son, I told you. You shouldn't have used them washing powders on that dog." Oh, he said, "That wasn't what killed him." We said, "What killed him?" He said, "I believe it was the spin cycle." Now, some of us look like we've been through the spin cycle today. We're going to have revival anyhow. Amen. Preacher, I love camp meeting and I like Bible conferences, but I come a praying they'll turn into revival. Amen. Yes, sir. And what a blessing it is to see a good number like this out on a prayer meeting night. Amen. Hallelujah. If you've got a copy of the Word of God, like to follow in the Scripture, turn, if you will, please, to the book of 2 Samuel. 12th chapter and the 4th verse. If you're physically able, I'll ask you to stand reverence the one who wrote the book. Second Samuel 12 and verse number 4. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. And he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him. But took the poor man's lamb, Ken, and dressed it for the man that was coming to him. Father, I thank you for your word. This time together in the tabernacle tonight, Dear God, for these people that laid down the things of this world and gathered out here to worship and to praise and to glorify you. And I pray you'd have your way in this place. Somebody here lost, I pray, dear God, this will be the night they get saved. And somebody with some other kind of a need, sir, I pray they bring it to you. Now I'm fine, help at thy hand. God, I can't, but you can. Lord, and I come to allow you, have your way. Somewhere down the road, yonder, I'll bow down and praise you and glorify you and tell everybody you did it all. For it's in Jesus' name I do humbly pray. Amen, and you can be seated. There came a traveler, the Bible said, unto the rich man. And he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Now, most of you recognize this as the parable, if you want to call it that, or the story that old Nathan the prophet came to David with, sent by God after David had committed his great sin. Matter of fact, you back up one chapter and we find a record of that. And how David had transgressed the 10th commandment of God, the 8th commandment of God, the 7th commandment of God, and even that 6th commandment of God, and had Uriah the Hittite killed. That 10th commandment, he coveted his neighbor's wife, preacher. The 8th one, he stole her. Thou shalt not steal. The 7th one, he had committed adultery. The 6th one, had Uriah the Hittite killed. But Galatians 6 and verse number 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's God's law of the harvest. You reap what you sow. I can't plant tomatoes and pick pepper. You reap what you sow. Not only you reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow. I plant a bushel of potatoes, and a good year I'll harvest 10 or 12, 14 bushels of potatoes. God's law of the harvest. Amen. Not only do you reap what you sow, and more than you sow, but you reap later than you sow. I don't plant corn today and go out tomorrow and pick some. You see, that's what's the matter with a lot of people. They think because God ain't moved already on them and their sin that they've gotten by with. No, sir. You reap later than you sow. God ain't mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, when David heard this, boy, he welled up in anger and he said, man that's done this shall surely die. And he'll restore the lamb fourfold, four times over. Amen. Now God was merciful enough to not kill him. Amen. But little did he realize his pronouncing his own sentence. Amen. When he said four times he must repay. Amen. Buddy, listen, when David and Bathsheba walked out of that cemetery after burying that baby, crop number one was in the barn. Huh? Yes, sir. His daughter Tamar's life was ruined by her own brother Amnon. Now, crop number two was in the barn. 2 years later, Absalom killed Amnon for what he had done to Tamar. And crop number three was in the barn. Absalom rebelled against his own father. David put into exile yonder, but word came to him from the battlefield. Old Joab telling him, sent him word how Absalom had been killed. Crop number four's in the barn. Boy, I can hear him hollering, my son, would to God that I could have died in your stead. Word of God said that old Absalom's hair was pulled. Now, I don't know exactly what kind of hairdo that is. Don't sound too good to me. Evidently, he had it stacked up on his head in some form or fashion. Rode under that tree. Got caught. And I heard old Lester Roloff preach 35 years ago on this subject, and the mule walked on. Left him hanging. Along came Joab and drove those darts into his heart. And boy, listen, crop number four was in the barn. Now, I've known since I was a boy in Sunday school who that rich man represents. That's David. He is king. I mean, he had anything his heart's desired. Listen, he had the finest of clothes, the best transportation, anything his heart desired, he had. He was a wealthy man. Poor man, that's Uriah the Hittite. Amen. That one little ewe lamb, that's Bathsheba. And I've known that preacher since I was a boy in Sunday school. But there came a day, back yonder, I began to realize there are four characters in this story. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. And I'll be as honest as I know how to be. I didn't have the vaguest idea in the world who that was. And so, boy, I began to ask, you know, I can remember back as a boy preacher, something like that come up and I didn't understand. I'd think about, what old preacher can I call that would be able to help me? And I guess the very first time I ever framed that thought, God showed me something. Why call any of them when I'm talking to the one who wrote the book? In all these years, I've just been quizzing him about what it means. And boy, listen, he ain't just got the answer. Glory to God, he is the answer. I mean, listen, I don't care what's the matter with you tonight. He's the answer. I don't care what kind of problem you got tonight. Thank God, he's the answer. Amen. He's the solution. He can do for you what man can't do, brother. Boy, I saw that one time, Ken. Bless my soul. 1 Samuel 17, the story of David on the battlefield. Verse number 40, the Bible said he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. And, boy, I begin to wonder, why stones? Why five? And why smooth? I guess what brought that back to my mind, I opened my briefcase today, and I picked that up out of the same brook David got his in 1978. 35 years ago, I picked that rock up out of that same brook, smooth stone. And boy, I began to wonder why. Why five? Why smooth? And why stones? Well, stones was what was available. Amen. People think, well, if I had this, if I had that, why not use, bless God, what God's made available to you? Amen. I mean, just get it up and put it to work for God, whatever God has placed available to you. And then, why smooth? Well, an old jagged rock ain't going to travel a distance. It ain't going to hit the mark. But a smooth, it's called aerodynamics. You ever notice the shape of a bullet? I mean, General Motors and Ford and Chrysler, they spend millions of dollars, engineers, you know, making those automobiles aerodynamically designed. You know why that thing will travel a distance and hit the mark? Something smooth will cooperate with the wind. It's not wind resistant. I'll tell you what, church, we gather out on Sunday morning and cooperate the wind. It's untelling, preacher, what'll take place. I mean, buddy, listen, I'm glad, thank God, I never did learn to preach. I just come salute the captain of my salvation and cooperate with the wind. And buddy, listen, whatever God lays on my heart, that's what they're going to hear. Amen. I can't preach, but I know somebody can if I let him. Huh? Yes, sir, buddy. Just cooperate with the wind. I'm telling you, in our churches on a prayer meeting night, Lord God, it's untelling what take place. If our people will learn to cooperate with the wind, I'll tell you what, Scott, you wouldn't preach half the time on Sunday morning. If you folks would cooperate with the wind, listen, I wouldn't get in the pulpit half the time, preacher, if my people would cooperate with the wind. Why stones? Stones carry weight. I mean, he ain't throwing feathers. That rock hits something. Something's going to give, buddy. Carries weight. That's where, why Mary Martha sent for Jesus. Old Lazarus dying. They knew full well that Jesus carried enough weight. If they could get him to Bethany, their brother would be all right. You say, wait a minute, preacher, he died. I know he did. But glory to God, out yonder in that graveyard, he carried enough weight. Woo! Hallelujah. When he called his name, death had to turn him loose. Amen. Let him go. Glory to God. That's why Jairus was looking for him. He knew the Lord carried enough weight. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Listen, July the 6th, 2012, I couldn't get up without help. But somebody came to my study that day. Woo! They carried enough weight. Bless God, it jerked that disease out of my body. Woo! Sat around, I'll shout for all of us. Blessed be God. I don't know how I stay as quiet as I do. What a blessing. He carries enough weight to help you with your trouble tonight. He ain't just got the answer, he is the answer. And boy, listen, this fourth character popped up here. And I said, dear God, I need something to tell my people. I don't know who this is. You know where the Lord took me of all places? First chapter of the book of Job. 6th verse. And there came a day when the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan came into their midst. And God said, Satan, from whence comest thou? From going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. Are you listening? From traveling. And I'd found my traveler. Yes, sir. The devil himself, buddy. And there came a traveler into the rich man. I want to say, first of all, he knows exactly when to come. You back up one chapter. In first verse 11 chapter, there was a time when kings went to war. David didn't go. He sent Joab. You know what that made him? A man out of place. And buddy, here he is, a man out of place. And the traveler came. The traveler showed up. Now you just go ahead, if you please, and get out of place as a child of God. But you better be prepared to entertain the traveler. He knows exactly when to come. You just get out of place. You just go on to flea market on Sunday morning instead of going to church. You better get ready to entertain the traveler. Yeah, he knows exactly when to show up, buddy. That crowd out here on Wednesday night, hoeing in their garden when they ought to be in prayer meeting, buddy, listen, a man out of place. Sunday morning, amen, you ought to be sitting in your place. Amen, that man of God gets in the pulpit. Buddy, listen. If you're not, and you're able, you're out of place. And here comes a traveler. Hey, it ain't coincidental. Long about 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, you laid out of church, and there's a knock on your door. Amen, them witnesses for Jehovah. Amen, they're smarter than you give them credit for. They know, bless God, they can catch you home 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Amen, they've got a good chance of reaching you. Amen, because you're anxious to hear about a place, a religion leaves hell out of it, buddy. Amen, they know, I'm telling you, the devil knows exactly when to show up. The traveler knows, amen, when to come. Hey, I didn't get in this thing yesterday. I said I was born in the morning, but I wasn't born this morning. For 39 years, yonder in the mountains of Mitchell County, me and my wife have watched people get out of place, preacher. Amen. Long the journey, getting out of place. And the traveler showed up. Some of them still entertaining the traveler. Some of them already planted yonder in some cemetery. Got out of place. Buddy, I'm telling you, the devil knows when to come. Here he is. I mean, immediately, man, after his failure to stay in place, the traveler showed up. Not only... so you know exactly when to come. Amen. He is given a place to stay. David invited him in. Now listen. It starts out, and there came a traveler unto the rich man. Notice how it closes this verse. He took the poor man's lamb and dressed it, now watch it, for the man. He ain't a traveler no more. He's been given a place to stay. He's just a man here now, preacher. He's been tucked in, give a place to stay. He ain't traveling now. You see, the devil had a home in heaven and got kicked out of his home. And he's been looking for a place to stay ever since. Amen. Till he's consigned to hell, buddy, forever. He's up and down this world walking to and fro, seeking him a home. Amen. Now he may come a knocking, but bless God, you don't have to take him in. Amen. And invite him in, mister. Amen. Number three, he was entertained. Amen. Took a lamb, dressed it, and fed him. Entertained him. Don't you reckon that's why the devil's hanging around some homes today? They're entertaining him. I mean, you think about it. Somebody comes to your house and they say, well, I better go. No, hang on. There's some fresh cookies here. Well, I believe I'll stay. And, well, I better go. Now, hang on. She's putting supper on the table. How about hang around? Well, I believe I'll just stay. I said, well, better go. Hey, it's getting so late. Why don't you spend the night? Well, think a wheel. But if you don't give them nothing but a cold shoulder, what's going to happen? They're going to hit the road, buddy. Right there's exactly why the devil's hanging around some homes tonight. He being entertained, but listen, I'm a tell the Lord God, don't take him in. Listen, if he gets in, don't entertain him. Amen. Treat him so sorry. Bless God, he'll want out of there. I was talking to a lady a while ago. I was telling her about Brother Mac Hodge. Any of you old as I am, remember old Brother Mac Hodge? Used to pastor over here in Valdez. Yeah, I see some hands. Me and Mike used to preach together. He's preached for me. And I preached for him before he went on to heaven. He was preaching Fort Mountain Baptist Church. He called the devil a bad name. I mean, preaching right out of the pulpit, a bad name. Well, I mean, that pastor's phone began to ring. And he got home. They said, you got to get rid of him. We don't want him here. He said, you don't like it? You tell him. I ain't telling him. Yeah. Mike, he'd look at you, them little beady black eyes, scare the devil out of you, buddy. Part his hair right in the middle. Amen. And he went back to the pulpit the next night. And he said, I understand some of you got upset because I called your daddy a bad name. And I ain't exactly telling you to call him a bad name, but get rid of him. Amen, however you can. Hallelujah, buddy. You don't have to put up with him. Matter of fact, send Jesus to the door when he knocks. He won't hang around. I'm telling you, listen, he's looking for a home. And then he wants to be entertained when he gets in. Number four, when I'm done, we're going home. The traveler has to be paid. You back up a chapter. David had committed this great sin, coveted his neighbor's wife, committed adultery, had Uriah the Hittite killed. Verse number five, previous chapter, the woman conceived, paydays rolled around. You're going to pay now for it. Huh? Payday. Got away rolling around. Ken, my dad, bought me my first car, 58 Chevrolet. Boy, I was proud of that thing. I wouldn't let no dust stay on it. I was out there, boy, getting that dust off of it. Cruising Irwin on Saturday. Matter of fact, boy, I remember in them days I tried it one time on Sunday. But to get to Irwin, I had to pass Unicoi Baptist Church, and I had a mommy in there praying for me. I got past that church, got about a mile on down the road and had to turn. I said, this is foolish. I went about a half mile beyond the church, and I came back through Unicoi with that four barrel open, but I was going to pass that church. Got about a mile down the road and had to turn around. I couldn't get over Mama's prayer. I tried a third time, preacher. Lord God, I didn't even make it past. I had to turn in. I could not get over my mama's praying. Hallelujah. Dad bought me that car. I got out of school, got a job. I saw a 64 Chevrolet, Range Chevrolet in Irwin, Tennessee, Super Sport. Bright red, had chrome around the seats, chrome floor shifter, 327, Muncie 4-speed, Rochester 4-barrel. That's back in them days they didn't ride with you when you test drove them. I found out what that 64 Super Sport would do to you. I went and told Dad. I said, Dad, I'm going to trade that 58 Chevrolet. Seen one I want. You know what he told me? He said, yon yon this time, boy. Boy, I went back to Range Chevrolet. They took me into the finance officer, sat in a little booth there. Man, I couldn't believe I'm going home in that 64. I sat there. Boy. But when I walked out of there, I had a payment book. Looked like the New York phone book. I looked at that thing, have to tear a sheet out first month, pay for it. I thought I'd never through life get that car paid for. And me and Carol got married back in those days. We was buying furniture. And I saw the most beautiful, she pointed it out to me, bedroom outfit, cherry wood, beautiful thing. And we didn't have money to pay for it, so we bought it on time. Ball Brother Furniture Company. Well, I paid and I paid and I paid, but it wasn't coming down, you know.
Yeah.
I got the papers out and read them, and they had something they call service charges. That's taking nearly half of my payment for something called service charges. I thought I, preacher, never on earth get that thing paid for. Payday rolled around. I'm gonna tell you, payday comes. Listen, Nathan, the prophet said, David, the sword will never leave your house. You're going to pay. Amen. From this day forward, you're going to pay. The traveler has to be paid. I'll tell you what blessed me, church, one occasion. You know, if you've done something wrong, you don't like people bringing it up. But every time you turn around, God's bringing up David's sin. Huh? Look here what David did. And over and over and over again until you come to the New Testament. And when you come to Calvary, it ain't never mentioned, preacher, no more. Hallelujah. Washed away by the rich red royal blood of the crucified Lamb of God. Amen. That old songwriter said, what sin are you talking about? Amen. My sins are gone. Amen, boy. The old record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. The old account's been settled. We ought to be there shouting this crowd this side of heaven. Boy, listen, our sins are gone. Hallelujah tonight. Them boys back here tonight, old Peyton and Gabe, well, there's a little old feller, Stacy. Me and Carolyn had him in Johnson City. And I said, where you going to eat, boys? Harbor House, Pappy. That's sort of like Harbor Inn up here. You can find me there a lot on Friday night if I've got Friday night off. Harbor House, Pappy. I said, I couldn't understand a lot of me. Then we'll go to them fish house and then order chicken. Yeah. I said, we got me two preachers. Our shore's a world. Yes, sir. And boy, old Gabe, I mean, soon he got big enough to notice he wanted a preacher's suit, eating chicken. You talk about if you had any preaching, that boy get it out of you. I mean, he'd be standing back, but Bethany would stand up, he wasn't no higher than her head. And sitting back there, you know, she wasn't him standing beside of her, and I'd be in the pulpit, and that little old boy would hand up her and preach, Pappy, preach. Preach, Pappy. Amen. I don't care if anybody else joined it or not. Bless God, me and Gabe's having us a time. We was in Harbor House that day. Them boys ordered chicken. Amen. We was sitting there and enjoying each other's company. And I became aware of the fact somebody standing beside me, Stacy. And I looked up and the man in the three-piece business suit. And he said, sir, I don't want to interfere with you. Meal, fellowship with family, whatever, but he said a man came by a while ago and told one of my waitresses that he wanted to see the manager. Now, he said, I own this place. She brought him to me. And he said, sir, could you come with me a minute? And he said, yeah, sure. And so we stepped out into the dining area here, and he said, see that family over there? And he pointed your table. I want to pay for their meal. Now, he said, I will take care of the tip. I don't want it to cost them anything. I will take care of the tip and the food and all of it. And said, so don't go by the cash register. Don't leave no money on this table. It's been well taken care of. I said, boy, I got to thank him. I said, is he still here? He said, no. He came by and paid and left. I had a fit.
Amen. Yes, sir.
There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven, a great list of sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. But thank God a man came by. Amen. All the way out of heaven's glory and picked up my bill. Woo! Hallelujah! And it's settled. Amen. My sins are gone tonight. Hallelujah. Woo! What a God's blessing. They never mentioned after Calvary. David sinned again. But boy, as long as he lived, he paid and he paid and he paid. The traveler has to be paid. Come here, musicians, and play for me. You know which one? Last one, that church hymnal. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Traveler knew exactly when to come, didn't he? He's looking for a place to stay, looking for a home, want to be entertained. He had to be paid. One David paid a great price. Hey, I preach to somebody tonight. If you just be honest, yourself and God, you're out of place. Might as well get ready. Traveler's on his way. Say, preacher, I'll just be honest. I ain't been as faithful to the house of God as I used to be or should be. A lot of times I'm out of place. Well, I believe you owe God an apology. And any others of you, let's stand all over this tabernacle tonight. Hear me and hear me well. I never take for granted that everybody's a Christian. You hear lost and undone without God. He'll save you if you'll let him. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. He will. And others of you, it's just the fact you know you're heaven bound, but you're man out of place, woman out of place. Maybe you've been invited and you know full well that you ought to be singing in that choir, but you're not. You're out of place. Now hear me. May not be you, it may be your boy. Maybe your girl. Maybe a loved one you know full well is out of place. The traveler's coming, the traveler's going to have to be paid. Let me tell you something, I'll be done, we're going to go home. 30 years ago, man, woman, Spring Creek Church got out of place. I visited their little trailer home. Tears in my eyes begged them to come back to church. They had a little four-year-old boy. That little boy sat across the living room, and while I talked to his mom and dad, he'd roll a ball to me, and I'd roll it back. And I said, folks, if for nothing else, for that youngin's sake, get back in church. And they wouldn't listen. They stayed out of place. My phone rang one morning, 6 o'clock, and my voice on the other end, hysterical. What had happened? They'd taken him to his grandmother's. It was her babysitter. She also kept another one of her grandchildren. And when Natan's mama brought him, they didn't know that little four-year-old wandered outside and that car backed over him. Back tire right over his head. Dead on the scene. 3 days later, we carried that little white coffin. Set it on the communion table at Spring Creek Church. I talked to his grandfather many times to no avail. 70-some years old would come to church. Wouldn't even come to the funeral. Service over, I went looking for him. He's an automobile coming out from his house, one of his other children. And I pulled right in front of him where they couldn't get by. And got out. That old man got out, old overall jacket on, an old hat. I said, You wouldn't listen to me, would you? And God called him another preacher. I said, listen, a little four-year-old has got to preach one time. Surely to God, you're going to hear him. I can see him now, Ken. Reach up and pull that old hat off his head, and we got down in the gravel, and I heard him pray, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Hey, I sat in that little trailer home, rolled a ball, and begged that couple, and they wouldn't listen. It's entertaining the traveler. The traveler had to be paid. I don't know how many. When I stepped out of that church after the funeral, aunts and uncles, relatives reaching a hand out a car window saying, pray for me, Preacher Bob, I ain't right with God. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, when we're paying the traveler, God's got our attention, ain't he? Hey, lady. Sir, reckon how long before your boy, your girl's going to start paying? It's out of place tonight. 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus and verse 10. Moses been yonder on the mountain communing with God, and they came off. Found Israel living like hell. Verse 10, God said, let me alone. Moses, just leave me alone. That my wrath may wax hot, that I might destroy them, and I'll make of thee a great nation. Now, can you imagine how tempting that must have been? They treated Moses like the devil. Your God said, let me alone. I'll destroy them and make of thee a great nation. Boy, verse 11, very next verse, blesses my soul. Moses besought the Lord. See, he's saying, God, I can't let you alone. I love him. I can't let you alone. God, there ain't no way I'd let you alone. I love that crowd. Hey, Mama, what are you going to do? You going to let God alone? Are you going to get in this altar and pray for that boy and that girl? God bless you, honey. God bless you. Mom, Dad, what are you going to do? You going to let God alone? Are you going to get in this altar and pray for that girl tonight? That grandson, that granddaughter. Are you going to get down here and say, God, I can't let you alone. I love them. Come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. Some of you's got a brother or sister. It's out of place. You going to let God alone? Are you going to, like Moses, find you an old altar and say, God, I can't let you alone. I love him. God, I don't want him to go to hell. God, I don't want to see him have to pay the traveler. Come and lift their name up to God in heaven tonight. I don't know how, God. I feel God in this place, preacher. Hallelujah. Woo! Hey, there are enough people around this altar right now to turn Burke County upside down for the glory of God, preacher. Somebody else, I mean, much as anything on earth needs to slide down this aisle, get down on your knees and say, God, being my helper, I'm going to start cooperating with the wind a little better than what I have. Somebody else maybe needs to come and thank the good Lord that you serve one carries enough weight to take care of anything going on in your life tonight. Our blessed Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these my friends around this old altar. Dear God, for what you're doing for them right now. One of these days, sir, on the far side of Jordan, I'll bow again and thank you. Lord, when I'm better equipped with words, what you did for us on that prayer meeting night down yonder beside old Highway 18 in Burke County, North Carolina. Thank you for these nights of camp meeting. Bless your people, these churches, dear God. In Jesus' precious name, I do humbly pray. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.